Welcome back to your Half Hour to Health with Dr. Mark DiBenedetto. For those of you who are new to our show, let me give you a little bit of background about myself. I graduated from Edison High School in New Jersey in 1981. I wrestled there. I was a district champion, and I still hold the school record for the fastest pin, which was 8 seconds. I went on to Rutgers University, where I continued to wrestle, and I graduated there in 1985. I then went on to Palmer College of Chiropractic in Davenport, Iowa, and I graduated there in 1991. I graduated with cum laude honors and on the president's list, but I always say I came back with something a little more special from Palmer than my degree. That's where I met my wife, Dr. Tammy DiBenedetto, and together we've owned and operated Mifflintown Family Chiropractic for the past 19 years. We have successfully treated over 5,000 patients. And I'd like to just thank everyone who's been sending me the cards and the emails and the questions. Last week alone, I received over 103 emails about the show. I've tried to answer every one of those. I also use the most common questions to figure out topics for the next show, which is exactly what I did for this one. If you have missed any of our previous shows, no, you can go on our website. That's www.mifflintownchiro.com. And Chiro is C-H-I-R-O. And if you go over to where it says Wellness Library, when you click on that, there'll be a drop-down menu. And the first selection will be Dr. Mark's radio shows. From there, you'll be able to listen to any of the archive shows right from the computer. You can actually download it to a CD and listen to it in your car. You can put it on an MP3 player and even listen while you're on the treadmill. If you have, if you'd like to just sign up for our newsletter, you can do that as well. It's a free newsletter. You just go right to the website again, MifflintownChiro.com, and you click on newsletter, and you just follow the steps to subscribe. Now, for all of those who are taking the time to listen to me today, we will have a special offer for you at the end of the show. And I'd like to start today's show off with a story. And it's a story about a famous logger. In fact, he was the best log splitter in the world. He had been the champion log splitter for 20 years, and his name was John. And John, although he was getting older, he was actually getting smarter. And you'll find that out in this story. But this year was a special year because he was going up against the new, young, strong, up-and-coming log splitter. And this was a nice kid, but he had muscles on top of muscles. And at the end of the year at the championship, they always have a 45-minute log-splitting championship. And what they need to do is not only cut the wood, but stack the wood. And then at the end of 45 minutes, whoever has the most stacked wood is the champion. So as they introduced each one, they shook each other's hands, and the old guy had a little gleam in his eye, and he looked at this young stallion, and he knew he could be in trouble. Well, the whistle blew, and they started chopping wood as fast and as hard as they could. But after about 15 minutes, John, the older champion, went over to the shed. And the young stallion could not figure out why he took a break, but he tried to take advantage of it, and he worked even harder. And he was only in the shed for about a minute, but John came out, and he actually had a glass of iced tea. Took a sip of the iced tea, sat it down on a log, and resumed cutting wood. Another 15 minutes went by. John then went to the shed again. The young stallion could not figure it out. He just kept chopping wood as hard as he could. John would come out about a minute later, had another glass of iced tea, took a sip, sat it down on a log, and resumed cutting. In 45 minutes, they blew the whistle. The young stallion had used every muscle that he had. He was exhausted, sweat pouring off him. And there was John just sitting on a stump drinking his iced tea. When they were done counting all the wood, John was declared champion again. The young stallion could not believe it. He said, "How in the world, John, could you take several breaks? And I can work as hard as I can, and you still cut more wood. How can that be?" And he said, "Well, when I went to that shed, son, I wasn't taking a break. I was sharpening my saw." And that's what I want all of you to do, is let's start working smarter rather than harder. And I think, you know, making that extra trip when you have to do things and taking that extra time of planning is so important. So if you listen to what I will tell you today, it can change your life because it can change the way you treat your health forever. So today, I will address one of the most common problems suffered by at least 80% of the population. That's right, a whopping 8 out of 10 people will suffer from debilitating back pain. Now, let me tell you something. Debilitating doesn't mean my back aches. It means that I am laid up on the couch, on the bed, stuck on the floor, can't move, back pain. It costs our country billions of dollars due to treatment, lost wages, and disability. So why do so many people suffer from back pain? Well, in my opinion, there are two main reasons so many people suffer from lower back pain. Now, number one, there's going to be several topics underneath there that actually make it up. But it's called deconditioning. Now, what is deconditioning? Well, it means being overweight, lack of exercise, lack of flexibility. You know, you can break each one of these down, and let's just look at being overweight and how that affects your back. Realize for every pound you are overweight, it's 7 more that the back feels like it's carrying. So think about that. If you're just 20 pounds overweight, that's 140 extra pounds that the back feels. If you're 30 pounds overweight, it's 210 pounds that the back feels like it's lugging around. And realize that isn't just your back, although I know that's what we're addressing right now. Think about your knees and your hips. Why do you think so many of those need to be replaced these days? Right now, our country is about 70% overweight or obese. Even our children are down that path. It's why we have so much diabetes and other health issues. But even use that percentage for the knees. Think about this. It's still 7 pounds extra. So if you're 30 pounds overweight, that's 210 more pounds that your knees feel when they're walking up and down steps. And then we wonder, how did we get arthritis of the knees or the back? How did we get degenerative disc disease, spurs, breakdown of the joints and the cartilage? It wears us down. And you know, sometimes my patients will tell me, "I know I'm overweight, but I never had back pain before." Well, it's because it takes time. Many times it's repetitive traumas. And so when you're overweight, just doing simple things over time break down your spine. Many people come in and their first complaint to me is that, "I don't know how I did it. You know, I bent down to tie my shoes and I can't walk." Did tying their shoes have anything to do with it? No, no. You know what? But if I take their history, they've been chopping a lot of wood over the last month. It doesn't matter that it didn't hurt at that time. It all catches up with you at some point. The next thing under deconditioning, like lack of exercise, it usually goes hand in hand with being overweight. Realize that if you don't have strong muscles, you know, you don't reinforce your core, your abdomen, your buttocks, your legs. When you go to lift something, it's left to the disc and the joints to carry the load, and eventually they will break down. The excuse I get here is, one, I don't have time to exercise, or even two is more common out here. People will tell me, well, I work hard. That's my exercise. And I say, no, no. What you have to realize, and I respect how hard you work, but your work actually causes breakdown. You need to exercise so you can work as hard as you do. Lack of flexibility. Again, this is something that we see so much. We'll test somebody's posture and range of motion when they come in and we have them bend or we raise their leg. And we realize, like, their hamstrings, those big muscles in the back of your legs, are so tight. We'll realize when they're tight, that'll actually pull in what's called your lumbar spine, your lower back curvature, and it straightens that out. And when it does that, you are over 10% more likely to have an injury. So if that same person is cutting wood or running the sweeper or on their hands and knees washing the floor, they're going to have more problems than the person who has flexible hamstrings and a nice lordotic curvature in the lower back. You know, when I wrestled for Rutgers University, we used to stretch for 20 to 30 minutes before the coach would even start practice. And that was to prevent injury. Yet most of us, we're going to go out there and, whether it's shovel snow right now or in the spring, swing a golf club, you know, take aerobics. And the only stretching we do is kind of, yep, feels good, and we're ready to go. That's ridiculous. That's amateur. Athletes would never do that, yet we think we're better than them. We need to stretch. Realize movement, flexibility, exercise, that pumps the synovial fluid, which is your body's lubricant, into the joints. It's that lubrication that prevents damage. When your joints are dry, they become arthritic. Friction. That's why so many people, when they first get up in the morning, they're so sore and stiff. And once they get moving or take a hot shower, they feel better, right? You guys know who I'm talking to. Also know that there's pressure change in your spine. When you lay flat, which is what most people feel, or they feel good when they're laying flat, it's because there's only 25 pounds of pressure on your low back. But when you stand up, there's 100 pounds of pressure. And when you sit, there's over 200 pounds of pressure. Then you add in all the other problems like being overweight, not exercising, flexibility. This is why truck drivers have horrible backs. A lot of degenerative discs are found in truck drivers because they're in such a tough position. And then the road just kind of beats them up like a jackhammer. You know, understanding repetitive traumas is sort of like a game that I grew up with. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. You've probably heard about it, even if you didn't play it. But when I was a kid, we all used to get a handful of straws. There might be four players. And then there was this camel with two sacks, one on each side of its back. And you would take chance apiece, putting these small little straws, if you will, inside the sacks. And, you know, nothing would happen initially because the straws didn't weigh hardly anything. But the accumulative effect of all these straws going in, you'd start to see the camel's back bow a little bit. And then you'd have to be real careful putting those straws in. But eventually what would happen is the back would just collapse. And that's exactly what happens to the average person. Again, that example where they just bend down to tie their shoes or put their socks on and they don't get back up. That had nothing to do with it. And then when they come in for an exam and we find deterioration, bone spurs, degenerative disc disease, we have to be the ones to explain that this problem started a long time ago. Let's move to number two. So number one was deconditioning. Number two is, we are a reactive society instead of a proactive society. What do I mean by this? Well, as a chiropractor for the past 20 years, I can tell you it is easier to keep people well than to get them well. But see, most people wait until we have a problem, or in this case, back pain, specifically low back pain, to address the issue. Realize, in my opinion, the best time to go to the chiropractor is when you feel great. It's not when you have severe low back pain that you can't get out of bed or you can't put your shoes on. Think about this. A good example would be your car. You're not going to wait till the engine blows up to change the oil. You'd be a little late, right? But if you change it regularly, you just expect and know that your car will run and last longer. But yet we don't treat our bodies like that. We act reactive to a problem instead of proactive before we have it. Don't get me wrong. We can help you if you're in severe pain. However, I would tell you, you're a little late for your first adjustment. You know, my dad taught me the five most dangerous words. Maybe it will go away. People will feel a twinge or a pull, and they'll tend to put it off. And they'll take, you know, some over-the-counter pain medications. They'll try different things. But, you know, things generally get worse with time, not better. Let me give you some other examples of being reactive instead of proactive. Think about this one. People wait to change their diet and exercise program until after they have the heart attack. I mean, realize you might never have needed open heart surgery if you would have just acted sooner. And the body's really incredible. It will start healing the minute you start doing the right things. But we all wait until we're so far down the path. And what's even sadder is people may change their behaviors a little, like after they have open heart surgery, they get on that treadmill and start eating right. But you know, in 6 months, if I ask them, how you doing with that? They're right back to the same old story. You know, bad habits. We need to start being proactive about our health. What about quitting smoking? You know, it's funny. People will tell me all the time, Doc, I just can't do it. I've tried everything. The patch, the gum, the, you know, hypnosis. But yet they can quit when they're diagnosed with emphysema or lung cancer. Why does it take that extreme? Why do we have to wait till be reactive to the problem? We can be proactive. In fact, if you quit smoking today, your lungs will start to heal as long as you didn't kill them. So let's make sure that we start being proactive today. Get in shape. Strengthen your back. Improve your flexibility. And most important, see your chiropractor and see him on a regular basis. Don't wait till you think it's an emergency. You can't tell when it's time for an adjustment. People will come in and say, well, you know, I thought I was going to need you. Only 10% of your nervous system perceives pain. 90% of the time, you will never know until it's too late. Let's talk about what are some of the common treatments people utilize for low back pain. They might try medication, you know, whether it's over-the-counter or really strong prescriptions like Vicodin and OxyContin. You know, it's amazing to me how many of my patients are taking these strong pain medications when they come into my office. Realize, although they can give some relief, they can also cause danger. They can also be very addictive. We also know that every drug, even though it has a benefit, can have a side effect. So what I want to know is, what exactly would a pain medication do to help a pinched nerve, a slipped or herniated disc, arthritis, strained muscles? What does pain medication do for that? I can tell you, nothing. All it's doing is diminishing the pain. But here's how the body works. When you take a pain medication like that, and you're lowering basically your body's ability to tell you, it's going to increase the volume and it's going to go, hey, dummy, I'm sore. I got a problem. Address it. And you just take more medication. That's how you end up getting more dosages and probably end up addicted. A lot of patients will try heat. That is one of the biggest mistakes you can make on an acute low back problem. I can't tell you how many patients come into my office and they hurt their back maybe the day or week before, let's just say the day before, they sleep on a heating pad, and the next day they can't even get out of bed. Well, let's figure out why that is. Understand, heat draws blood to an area. And when you draw blood to an already swollen, inflamed area, you guessed it, it's going to swell more. And so then you make the condition worse and last longer. It takes us a while to try to draw that inflammation out. Did you ever see an athlete on the sidelines of a football game or any other sporting event with a heating pad on? Never. They're always wrapped in ice. Ice breaks the muscle spasms and reduce inflammation. So if you have acute low back pain, try ice for 15 minutes, take it off for 45 minutes, put it back on for 15 minutes, and then give it a break. Let me explain another misconception with low back pain. Patients will come into me with an MRI report showing a bulge or herniated disc, and they think they need surgery. That is just not true. We treat many people successfully with bulge or herniated discs. You know, there was a study done, and they had about 100 people in the study that had never had back pain. And with those 100 people, they put them through an MRI. And what they found was astonishing, 60 to 68% had a bulge or herniated disc. So what does that tell you? Well, it means that if you have back pain and you have a bulge or herniated disc, that may not even be the cause of your problem. So we really want to think before we have surgery. I have a study here. This was done by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And when they talked about surgery, this is what they said. Even having a lot of back pain does not by itself mean you need surgery. Surgery has been found to be helpful in only 1 in 100 cases of low back problems. In some people, surgery can even cause more problems. This is especially true if your only symptom is back pain. So in my opinion, that should be the last resort, is having a back surgery. Think very hard and make sure you've tried everything else before you go under the knife. Well, what exactly causes the pain in the lower back? Well, in some instances, it's just a strained muscle, which will, you know, usually resolve itself in a few days. But other times, and more commonly, it can be a pinched nerve. How does a nerve get pinched anyway? Well, again, one of the most common forms is from the vertebrae or your backbones shifting out of alignment, causing increased pressure on your nerves. That condition is called a subluxation. And here's one thing I never want you to forget. How much pressure does it take to pinch a nerve? 1 gram. We're talking less than the weight of a dime or a paperclip can drop you to your knees in pain or cause other health problems. Chiropractors are trained to detect and correct spinal subluxations. How do they evaluate your spine? Well, in our office, it's several steps. First of all, a thorough history. We want to know as much about you as possible. What you do for activities. Have you been through traumas? Have you had any knee surgeries, hip surgeries, things that might affect your gait? Then what we do is take a comprehensive spinal examination in several steps. We'll do a posture evaluation. Know that your posture is a window to your spine and your nervous system. It's hard to even find somebody who has poor posture who doesn't have health issues. Then we're going to do orthopedic neurological testings for an in-depth look at your condition. We're going to do range of motion study, because when you have subluxations, those vertebrae out of alignment, twisting and choking those nerves, it can cause restriction of motion. I want to know where they are. We'll do a thermography scan. It's one of our newest scans where we actually run a gun right up the sides of your spine and on the computer, it's going to measure the heat on both sides of your spine and show me where there could be any underlying nerve stress. If necessary, we'll take spinal x-rays to visually see what the health of your spine is and if indeed you have subluxation. If, after we look at all the results, we find you do not have subluxation, you're not a chiropractic candidate, we will refer you to where you can get help. However, if you do have subluxation, we will determine the best treatment plan for your individual case. Let me just read you a story that one of my patients just gave me last week. It reads like this. She says, "My name is Tammy, and my life has drastically changed since I have been coming to see Dr. Mark. 11 years ago, I was in a car accident and hurt my back. For 10 years, I went to see many doctors, none of whom could help me. They prescribed medications and various painkillers and sent me home. Then my sister suggested I see Dr. Mark. My first visit was February 2009. And in just 2 short months, I was pain-free and taking no medications at all. I put all of my trust and faith in Dr. Mark. He helped me when no one else could. He is a very caring person with each of his patients. If you give him a chance, you will find out what a remarkable guy he really is." That kind of makes me blush reading it. But, you know, we have a testimonial book, and patients will write their experience with chiropractic. And that was just one of them. So isn't it time that you start working smarter rather than harder, just like John in the beginning of this talk? Don't let back pain ruin your life. There is help. Chiropractors have been helping people just like you for 100 years. So, as I promised, I have a special offer for all of you who took the time to listen to me today. With my wife, Dr. Tammy, we have opened 5 new patient appointments in our office. So if you are one of the first 5 callers today, you will receive a comprehensive chiropractic examination, any necessary x-rays, a thermography scan, a range of motion study, and posture evaluation for just $27. That would normally cost you $160 in our office. So call 436-9017. Call 436-9017. That's 436-9017. This might just be the most important checkup you have ever had. And as my dad taught me, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. So like John the Log Splitter, it's time to start working smarter, not harder. So until next time, live your life with passion, and we will be back with you in 2 weeks for your next Half Hour to Health.